Now we're holding on Chof Hey Omer Aleph, the third line. We talked about in the Mishnah about the various cases where a woman, because she becomes a soita, she forfeits her ksuba, because those are cases we said where for one reason or another, she's not able to drink the mei soita. The basic idea being, once a woman becomes a soita, she's also to her husband, the only way to be mater her is by drinking the mei soita. If there's no mei soita, whether because nowadays there isn't any, or because as we had the various cases in the Mishnah where she's not able to drink it for one reason or another, because from what we learned from the various psukim that exclude her from it, then she remains also to her husband. And most of those cases, we said she forfeits her ksuba. We said we said only, for example, if she's not drinking because of something with the husband, for example, that the husband says, I don't want to give her the soda water to drink, or he had relations with her on the way, then she doesn't forfeit her ksuba because it's his fault rather than hers. So now the Gemara kind of digresses to talk about, well, not really digresses, but the Gemara is going to bring up a point regarding a woman forfeiting her ksuba and relate it back to our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, we have a question. The Chachamim, the Chachmei HaYeshiva had a question. Oiveres al dos, if a woman is violating halacha, now we learned ksubas that you can have, there can be a case, there's two kinds of cases. You have the Gemara called them over there Das Moshe and the Mishnah, and the Gemara called it over there Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. Das Moshe means she's being over on Dinim Daraisa, and the Mishnah gave their examples, for example, that she's Nida, but she doesn't tell her husband and he has relations with her, so he's over. Or, for example, she gives him food that wasn't Maiser or that otherwise is Aser. And then you have Das Yehudis, also the Gemara mentioned over there, certain Dinim of Tzinius are included in Das Moshe, certain basic things, for example, not covering her hair. And then there's Das Yehudis, which is the halachas that that Jewish women have accepted on themselves to follow. For example, the Gemara goes and mentions over there certain things as far as further dinim in details of tzniyus. So for example, the Gemara mentions over there b'dar isa, a certain kind of head covering would be enough, even though her hair might be visible through a certain kind of basket, for example, even though her hair might be visible through the holes in it. Das Yehudis is she wouldn't wear that either. Anyway, the Mishnah had described over there that if she's over on Das Moshe or Das Yehudis, then we talk about the husband has the right to divorce her, and she would forfeit her ksuba. So now, Iboy Lahu, so now we have the question, Oiveres al dos tzricha asra lafsid ksubasa oy einat tzricha. Does she need a warning to make her lose her ksuba, or does she not need a warning? Now, first of all, what kind of, Rashi makes a point over here. He says, Oiveres al das Yehudis. Rashi says specifically that we're talking about she's over on Das Yehudis. Now that seems to imply that Rashi would say that Das Moshe is not a reason to for her to be divorced. For sure, she need Hasra for that on the face of it. So there are Mefarshim who learn that way, that in fact Rashi would hold that there was a difference in that regard between Das Moshe, things Daraisa, versus Das Yehudis, the meaning of Jewish women. On the other hand, the Chassam Sofer in his Truvas, and in one of his Truvas, says that no, he says the vote is rather that Das Moshe, basically we're talking about things, they already happened, there's no undoing them. She gave him food that wasn't Meiser, or she had relations with him and she was a Nidder or whatever, and therefore, yeah, he has every right to be upset about that and to divorce. So as opposed to Das Yehudis, the reason why the Gemara, according to Rashi, would be focusing on Das Yehudis is because those are things that can be fixed up in the future. Those are things, so she's not dressing in the expected sneistic way. Fine, up until now she didn't, she could from now on.
Even
Yehudis, basically. Anyway, what kind of warning are we talking about? There you have a Machlokas Rishonim. The Rashba writes in some of his Truvas that it would mean that you would actually have to warn her explicitly. If you keep on doing this, you will forfeit your ksuba. I don't know if you need aid. Well, the Pashtus, the warning, at least needs aid. But on the other hand, the Riyaz, Rabbi Shaya Mitrani Ha'achra, and you have the Tosfos Rid. This is his grandson, who's also named Rabbi Shaya, and is a distinguished Rishon. We don't hear of him as often as the true as the Rashba is true. If you look on the sides of the Rif, there's a commentary over there called Shilti Agiborim by an early Achron from Italy. So he collects a lot of material from Rishonim before him, and he mentions the Riaz a lot over there. Anyway, the Riaz holds that. That you don't, all you need to do is warn her, stop doing this. This is against the Torah. And automatically included in that is, and if she keeps on doing it, she forfeits Uksuba. And the base Shmuel, one of the big Noisekelim on Evan Ezer, says that in fact, that seems to be the more logical thing, not like the Rashba, but rather like the Riaz, that the warning, if we're going to say, as the Gemara is saying over here, that you need a warning, then the warning just has to be, don't do this. It's also Api Alocha. You don't have to actually include the words. And if you do, you'll forfeit Uksuba. Anyway, but the first question is, the Gemara is asking, do you need that warning or b'chlal, do you not need a warning? Mi'aminan, do we say, kivin de'iveres al-dasi, since after all, she is violating halacha, loy boya, she doesn't need a warning, and the loy boya hasra, she doesn't need hasra, and the husband can divorce her whenever he wants. Oidumati boy hasra, or maybe after all, she should need hasra, di hodraba, because after all, she may change her mind and start behaving like she's supposed to, and we don't want to just have him divorce her, and maybe even and forfeit her ksuba without at least giving her an opportunity to change.
We just finished learning not long ago that women officially went way back to learn, so they wouldn't know all this. They wouldn't know all of it.
They would know. It's true. They wouldn't know the finer points of halacha, but they would know how a Jewish woman is supposed to act around the house. They would have learned, we would have expected them to learn it from their mothers, even when they didn't have, formal Jewish schooling. The whole point was their mothers and their older sisters, if they had, would teach them what they need to be doing and then not doing. So
they lose the ksuba, that part.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. In other words, part of what their mothers would be teaching them when they're younger is be aware, you know, this is how, when you get married, you're going to be expected to do such and such. And yeah. Anyway. So again, the base Shmuel learns when Rashi mentions Das Yehudis, that if it's Das Moshe, then of course she doesn't need Hasra. But the Chassam Sofer says that no, either way she does. And he says that's why Rashi mentions Das Yehudis, only because with that, it is possible to change for the future, whereas Das Moshe is already a done deal. But whatever the case, the question is, does she need that warning or does she not? Can he divorce her even without a warning? An interesting point that one of the Achronim makes, a sefer called Kerem Nota, a contemporary sefer, explains there's two opinions among the poskim why it is, b'chlal, when she's over on Das Yehudis, why is that enough for her to forfeit her ksuba? So let's say, for example, she's going out with her hair uncovered or not completely covered, which is Das Yehudis. Why is that a valid reason for her husband to divorce her anyway? So you have like this, the base Shmuel, again, one of the big Noisekelim on Evan Ezer, the same way as you have, for example, Taz and Magen Avraham on Urachayim, the same way you have the two big ones on Evan Ezer, Achelkas, Mechokik, and base Shmuel. So the base Shmuel learns that since she acts in a pritzistic way like that, we have to be concerned that she might at some point be Mizana. Now, whether that applies nowadays, where unfortunately many women are b'chlal not aware and they don't necessarily get proper chinuch to know about covering their hair, is a whole different question. And there are contemporary sifrei halacha that deal with such things. But basically, we're talking about, at least let's talk about in those times where it was a known thing, you have to act this way. So therefore, if she's going against that, then it's a pritzistic thing. What if she's mizana? On the other hand, the Mishnah Lamelech says it's not even that she might be Mizana, it's she. We have to be concerned that she was already Mizana. So therefore, so the Sefer Kerem Nota wants to say that might be the idea behind the Gemara's question, whether she needs Hasra or not. If you say that there's a concern that she was already Mizana, then there should be no reason for a warning. But if you say that's the concern that she might be, then you need to at least warn her that this could lead to that.
They both agree to have a warning, but you have to say...
No. That's a separate machlokas. The Gemara itself is asking whether b'chlal you need a warning. Within the possibility that you need the warning, you have the machlokas of the Rashba and the Riaz, whether that warning has to include the words and you will forfeit your ksura. Right.
Because if we're just mizan already, it's too late.
Right. So that's the question, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. We have, in our Mishnah, we had a number of cases where... where, again, where we said where a woman can't drink the meisota, the first ones in that morning were arusa v'shemeres yavam loishoses v'loinot l'sksuba. We said that an arusa or shemeres yavam, they we're assuming at this point that the husband is being mekaneh to them, of course, because that's necessary as a prerequisite in order for them to drink meisota, to even have a possibility of drinking meisota. And we're saying loishoses, they don't drink the meisota, because as we learned yesterday, we have psukim that say that not tachas isha, tachas isheich. However, we learned it exactly. Again, our Mishnah, we said, was following Rabbi Yonason, who says that neither of them does. We said, according to Rabbi Yoshia, a shemeres yavam would drink, but the halacha is not like him. So our Mishnah, we said, when according to Rabbi Yonason, neither one of them drinks the meisota, v'loy notlis ksuba, but they also don't get their ksuba because they forfeit it as a result of the kinui yastira. So the implication is mishtahu delo shasya. So they're not drinking the meisota hokanuya mekani law, but the implication seems to be that the husband can be mekane for her, can warn her, alti sasri mishpani. So you have to ask, what's the point of the kinui lamai? For what purpose is he giving her that warning? Given that it's not going to lead to meisota anyway, lav lav sidik subasa, wouldn't it be that he's warning her and telling her, if you keep this up, you're going to forfeit your ksuba?
Which meant those days a lot.
So, right. But the point is, in other words, that the point is, in other words, no warning, no forfeiting the ksuba, only because he warned her. So that would imply, in other words, that so that by the same token, with a veras al das, with where she's violating das Moshe or das Yehudis, as the case may be, then it sounds like you do need a warning in order for her to forfeit her ksuba. So Abaya says, not necessarily. You could say that the purpose of the kinui is that it accomplishes that if he does the kinui and then she goes into stido with this other guy, then she becomes also to him, which, as we learned, once she becomes a soita, she becomes also to him. So all it would be, in other words, is without the kinui, she would have been mutter to him. Let's say we could say, says Abaya, that he has still the unilateral right at any point to divorce her because she's over al-das, and even maybe for her to forfeit her ksuba without a warning because she should have known better. But so why is he, why as an orus is he being mekane to her is in order that because the what that kinui accomplishes is now if she is in fact in stira, she will be also to him. Because we learned yesterday that an arusa doesn't drink, and a shemeres yavam, an arusa, everybody agreed, doesn't drink because the pasuk says tachas isha, and a shemeres yavam, we said, was machlokas tanoi. We started talking about Averas Adas. You walked in the middle over here. The question in the Gemara was that whether in the case of Averas Adas, does she need a warning before she forfeits Uksuba? We're trying to prove from the Mishnah that we have the case of an Arusa where the warning, or Shemeres Yavam, where the warning is not leading to drinking the Meisota. So what would be the purpose of the warning if not for her to forfeit Uksuba? And Abaya says that's no proof because it could mean that the purpose of the warning is that she'll be also to him if she is over. Rapapa Amar, and Rapapa says a different explanation. You could say that the warning when she's an arusa would be effective, that you could give her to drink when she becomes a nesua. Meaning, in other words, Rashi learns, so he could give her the warning while she's an arusa. If then she goes into stira after nisuin, then that original kinui will be effective to that extent. It is true he can't give her to drink when she's an arusa because she's not tachas isha, but here, as long as the stira was after nisuin, and that way you have so that way you also have what we learned yesterday called mashchiras baal laboyo. It comes out that he had relations with her before potentially this boyle did, then therefore that's good enough, and therefore the papa says that could work. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a brisa, ein makanin la arusa la shkoisa kshi arusa. You can't do kinui for an arusa to give her the drink of meisota when she's still an arusa. That won't work because we learned yesterday there's the problem of tachas isha, and we learned yesterday in the Gemara that would apply even if the chosin illegally had relations with her when she was an arusa, when she was still living in her father's house. Still, though, you have kod meshivas baal leboil, so that's good, but she's still an arusa and she's not tachas isheich. On the other hand, but you can do the kinui for her to give that, and the purpose will be to give her the drink after she's nesua. So therefore that would work. Rashi, actually, over here actually says, well, this Gemara is also in Yevamos. Rav Papa brings this answer in Yevamos. Here versus Yevamos, Rashi explains slightly differently. Here, Rashi explains that the kinui was when she was in Arusa, and the stira and the drinking takes place when she's in a sewer. In Yevamos, Rashi says it a little bit differently, that the kinui takes place, the kinui and the stira take place when she's in Arusa. And like the Gemara said previously, it would have to be that he had relations with her when she was still a kala before the nisuin, and then the drinking would be after she's in a sewer. Whatever the case, the point is, in other words, Rav Papa is saying, so both Rav Papa and both Abaya and Rav Papa are saying you have no proof from our Mishnah whether in a regular case of a veris al das you need warning, because you could say the fact that he gives her a warning as an arusa, according to Abaya, is the warning is meant to answer her to him, which you wouldn't have after that, and you wouldn't have without that, rather. And according to Rav Papa, it's that conceivably that warning could eventually lead to drinking may soita. All our Mishnah means is that drinking can't take place while she's in Arusa. So no proof one way or the other from our Mishnah as far as the general question of Avera Saldas, whether she needs a warning.
Would it help if he had relations illegally? Would the drinking water would help?
Well, that's what we're saying. If he didn't have relations with her illegally, then anyway, he can't. She's not shayach to drinking the water, because then you don't have kod meshchivas ba'al l'boy. If the kedushin was made with beer, that's a good point. That's maybe. Okay. So maybe in that case, that would work for that purpose.
He has to have it in mind. Yes.
Maybe. No, well, obviously, he has to have in mind that same kedushin. Yeah, of course. Okay, maybe taka. But if it was
maybe it
would. Maybe that would work. Maybe that would be kod meshchivas ba'al l'boil. Fine. But if the kedushin were done with kesef or with shtar, then the only way for it to be kod meshchivas ba'al l'boil would be if, as the Gemara called it before, ba'al le'al b'vei saviya, where he had relations with her while she was in her father's house.
Well, before. Work, then. It needs to be tachas isha, which is...
So that still doesn't work, because not tachas isha. Right, but that's... No, tachas isha just means that she has to be fully married to him. Until the nisuin, she's not fully married to him. Even if they had relations, b'vei savia, it's still during the time of the kedushin. She's still in arusa. She's still in arusa until the chuppah. So therefore, no proof one way or the other from our Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Omar Rabba Toshma. Let's look at the continuation of the Mishnah and see if we can prove from that. The Mishnah continues. Almona l'koin gadol, if it's an almona married to a koin gadol, and grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyet, mamzeres unusina l'Yisrael, bas Yisrael l'mamzer l'nosin, all of those, we said, lois shoises for a noteless ksuba. Again, none of them can drink the soda water, but they also don't get their ksuba, because we said it has to be isharu uyaloi, it has to be a wife who's suitable for him, and in all these cases, she's not suitable to be married to him because there's an isur lav involved. Kedushin are tofus, we're not even talking about where there are rayas or anything, but kedushin do work, but nevertheless, there's an issur lav and they're not allowed to stay married. So again, Rava says, well, mishtar hu delo shasya. Now, the implication is we're saying that she can't drink in all these cases. Again, the implication seems to be that the husband can do a kinui, and you need the kinui. And without that, they don't forfeit their ksuba. So again, ulamai, what would you need the kinui for? Ila oisra nalav, is it? Now, in Abaya's example, with the arusa, in the first example that the Gemara brought, where we tried to prove that you need the warning, Abaya shlugged it up and said that no, the purpose of the warning could be to make her osir to him. Here, Rava says you can't even say that. Here, shouldn't you have to say that the whole purpose of the kinui is to make them forfeit their ksuba, implying that without a kinui, you're not going to have that? And again, obviously, being in stira with an unrelated man is an example of being over on Das Moshe or Das Yehudis, as the case, probably Das Moshe, actually. So in that case, then that demonstrates that for Ivera Saldas, you do need a warning, and without an official warning, you can't make a forfeit oksuba. By the way, this is where the base Shmuel says you have the proof from to accept what the Riaz says, that you don't need to actually tell her you'll forfeit oksuba, because after all, the warning that he gives her in all these cases, Gemara is trying to bring a proof from the Mishnah. The warning the husband gives her is just alti sastri mishpani. He never tells her alti sasri, and if you do, you're going to forfeit your ksuba. And yet we're discussing in the Gemara over here whether she would forfeit her ksuba. So that's a strong proof for the Riaz's position against the Rashba's as far as whether you need to actually, whether the warning needs to include the words, and you will forfeit your ksuba. Anyway, whatever the case, the point is, So again, Rava is saying here in this part of the Mishnah about the Amon Lekoin Gadol, etc., you can't use Abaya's deflection and say that the Mishnah is only saying to aser them on her, to aser her on her husband, because she's already aser. So by elimination, it must be Lahafsid and Ksumasim. However, the Gemara still says, Amar of Yehuda made a scar to Loi. No, because you could still say the Kinnery has other consequences. It means that as a result of the Kinnery, shall be also to this possible boil just as much to the husband. It's not, as we learn in the next parak, that just like we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, just as she's also to her husband, as a result of the, until she drinks the Mei Soita, the same way she's also to the boil. And so therefore, the kinui accomplishes that. You could say, in other words, without the kinui, she's also to her husband. Without the kinui, her husband. Well, she's anyway also to her husband. But the point would be that now it also creates a new isser on this potential boil on the guy the husband suspected her with, where now she's also to him as well. Which the Marsha points out, by the way, in the case in our Mishnah, we had seven examples. Almon l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyet, etc. Among them are mamzeras and nesina l'Yisrael. You would have to say the scenario would be that with the potential boil himself was also a mamzer or a nosin, or a ger who was also allowed to marry any of them. Because if it was a regular ben Yisrael, again, she'd anyway be also to him anyway as a mamzeras or a nesina. So we'd have to be talking about it in order for Rabbi Yehuda to discount his answer to work. In that particular case, you'd have to say that the boil himself is a mamzer or a nosin or a ger or what have you. In the other cases, Amon or Kohen Gadol, etc. You don't need that, of course, because an Amon is mutter to everybody outside a Kohen Gadol and so forth. Then we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak. We're going to learn that at the beginning of the next parak, since it says whatever. We're going to learn on Chof Zayin Amud Beis at the beginning of the next parak. We're going to have a Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva learns from a pasuk Kashem Shasur Labal Kachasur Laboil, because it says Vinitma twice Nitma of Nitma, and we learn from that that she's also to both of them. Well, we'll talk about that in a few dafim. Bless Hashem. Anyway. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Iskariot says again. So there is something else that happens when that's triggered by the kinui, namely her being also to this guy. So therefore, you could say that's what the Mishnah means, that the kinui is needed in order for that to happen. Without that, you wouldn't have. That doesn't prove anything as far as the forfeiting the ksuba that it required the kinui. Maybe she could forfeit the ksuba even without that, without any warning at all. By the way, Tosfos Shantz points out over here that. The fact is that the fact is also what the Gemara is assuming in these questions and answers is that you have scenarios that technically wouldn't be yichud, they wouldn't actually be over al das, but nevertheless the husband can still be mekane for them. For example, Tosfos Shantz points out, let's say for example you have the example of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Rabim, if the door is open, where we know that then the concept of yichud doesn't apply because anybody can walk in any time. Nevertheless, if he says Al Tisasri Mishpo, and they're alone for the amount of time that they talked about at the beginning of the Masechta. You have the seven or eight opinions of Tanoim over there, how long Shir Tuma is, the time to roast one egg or three eggs, or the time to swallow them, or the time to walk around a palm tree, b'chol, all the various opinions on Daf Dalad. So the Gemara is assuming at this point that those would be enough to make her a soita, even though maybe there's not technically overall das over here. Because the fact is, the husband is warning her the same way, for that matter also. We talked about a couple of days ago that it's possible for the husband to be mekane her with someone who otherwise she would have been perfectly mutter to be in yichud in. A woman is allowed to be in yichud with her own father. But if the husband tells her, don't be alone with your father, because he has reason to suspect that something's going on over there, then the fact is that is a valid kinnu. So therefore, Tosfos Shantz points out that the Gemara is assuming at this point that you do have all of that to consider as well. And therefore, in other words, that without that, she's not even necessarily overall, without a kinui, she's not even necessarily overall das at all.
And that's even if the door's open to
her. So even if it's her father, even if the door's open to her shasrabim, even if her husband is in town, et cetera, yeah. All the various heterim that you usually have for yichud, but nevertheless, if he warns her, al tisasri mishpoini, then all those go out the window. Yeah. Anyway.
Why did you come up with that?
Because Tosfos Shantz mentions it on the side over here. You have Tosfos Shantz printed on the side over here, mentions this point. So Tosfos Shantz is pointing out that if you say like this, you have the Gemara elsewhere talks about, if a woman is in yichud, do we ask her to her husband as a result of it? Do we assume that once there was yichud, there may have been something worse. So if we say oisrin ala yichud, then what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? And that's what Tosfos Chan says, because you can have a scenario where it's not technically yichud, but nevertheless there was kinui in there for you. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. So far, again, we don't have a proof one way or the other for our question, because in each of the cases that we brought from the Mishnah, there may be a different reason. There may be something else that the kinui accomplishes. In the first one, it accomplishes to make her also to her husband. In the second one, it accomplishes to make her also to the boil.
Where is there a better
sadas
in the common case in our
mission? In our kinui, stira. The stira itself is a real das. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
No, the question is, why do we better sadas?
Right. The question began. No. So the Gemara, because the Gemara often does that. The Gemara will start with a side discussion and eventually bring in a Mishnah, that a relevant Mishnah, to prove it. Here, the question on Averis Aldas, the fundamental concept of Averis Aldas and what happens as a result of it is in Masechet Ksubos. But here, since we want to bring our Mishnah, we're bringing parts of our Mishnah as proof state one way or the other, therefore it brought it in over here. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rab Chanina Misura Toshma." Well, let's prove from the continuation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, "For Elu Shebeis Din Mekanin Lahen." There are the following cases where Beis Din will do the kinui on behalf of the husband. And we have the examples. Mishin is Cheresh Baila. If her husband became a Cheresh, so therefore he's not, and Cheresh means he's a deaf mute. So now he doesn't have the das to give a warning anymore. And anyway, he's not able to speak. Or he became a shota, same problem. Or he's stuck in jail. And the Mishnah continues, the Chachamim are not saying that the Beis Din will warn her for the purposes of giving her to drink, because for that you need the husband himself to warn her. Only to passel her from her ksuba. Now, in these cases, you can't say that So in other words, if Beis Din doesn't warn them, then they're even though they're over Aldas, they're not forfeiting the Ksuba. Shma Mina. So that proves that even Averis Aldas, Boi Hasra, that she does need Hasra in order for her to lose her Ksuba. And here, Tosfos Shantz continues, you can't say, like we were just saying, that hypothetically, it could be one of these examples where it's not technically yichud, but the husband is minding anyway. You could say the husband has the right to do that. He has the right to say, you know what, it's true, this is not technically yichud, but I have reason to suspect. And therefore, I'm going to go ahead and warn you, Beis Din would not be able to do that, because the whole purpose is Beis Din is standing in place of the husband. So they can't assume without solid proof that the husband would mind in these cases. Maybe if it's not technically yichud, maybe then the husband tackle wouldn't mind, and therefore Beis Din has no right to say otherwise. So that shows that we're saying even when she is blatantly being over aldas, because here we're talking about a case where it is real honest yichud. Nevertheless, we still require a warning in order for her to forfeit huksuba. So the Gemara says, Shmamina, Ba'yasra, so that proves that she needs warning. Shmamina, good, that proves it. Well, the Gemara asks, V'cholu my time ala amimeha. Well, then, why didn't the previous opinions in the Gemara, why didn't they focus on that part of the Mishnah? We had first we tried to bring a proof from Arusa and Shemeres Yavam, and Abaya and Rapapa shot down that proof. Then Rava tried to bring a proof from Amon ala Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Yehuda Midiskauta also said that's no good. They all knew the end of the Mishnah. Yeah, why did we have to wait for the Chanina Misura to bring the end of the Mishnah? Why didn't they, to begin with, refer to the end of the Mishnah and bring a proof from that?
Is that the style of the Gemara?
It may be the style of the Gemara, but that's, in other words, first of all, that's when they have the stomach of Gemara. But second of all, the Gemara know that they knew the entire Mishnah. So they could bring a proof from the end of the Mishnah. So the answer is, why not the rest of them bring a proof from there? And the answer is, you could argue that there's a difference in these cases where her husband is a cheresh or a shoiter or locked up in jail, then she has no fear of the husband at all. So therefore, we could say, if Beis Din doesn't warn her, maybe we shouldn't penalize her without such a warning, because Rashi says, in other words, it won't be so surprising if, under those circumstances, she's over al das, figuring kind of she can get away with it. So therefore, it's not really pritzusa yisera. It's not showing that she's being extra pritzustic. It's just she figures, you know what, my husband is not around. Therefore, I can let myself go a little bit. You could argue conceivably that when her husband is around, and still she's obviously not afraid enough of him to avoid being over aldas, you could say that shows that she has a tremendous level of pritzus, much more than normal. Maybe you could argue in that case she shouldn't even need a warning, because she's obviously going far beyond what any person would, and she obviously knows, therefore, the consequences of what she's doing. So therefore, you can't necessarily prove from that in such a case you should need a warning. Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Maybe you can introduce again your stira between machlokes between the Rashba and Tosfos Mishnas.
Not Tosfos, no. You have a machlokes between the Rashba and the Riyaz, whether the warning needs to include the words or something to the effect, you will lose your ksuba if you keep this up. Whereas according to the Rashba, you don't need that, and according to the Riyaz, you do. The other way around. According to the Rashba, you do need to include that warning, and according to the Riyaz, you don't. So now we're saying over here, we could argue that when her husband is not around, you could argue that at least she needs some kind of warning. Alti susri mishpoini, because without that, she may figure, you know what, my husband's not around. Obviously, you know, I can let myself go a little bit. I don't have to be as careful about the dinim of tznius. So therefore, you could say that Beistin has to tell her, don't think because your husband's not around, therefore you can get away with it. Be aware you're not getting away with it. Now, the Rashba would hold. They have to actually tell her, not only you're not going to get away with it, but you're going to forfeit your ksuba, whereas the Riyaz would say that all they have to do is tell her, you're not going to get away with it, meaning as soon as your husband is able to, he will divorce you, and that'll be that. Whereas if we say, so on the other hand, we could say that when the husband is around, maybe we don't need a warning at all, because of the chlal, what is she doing? Acting in such a way, knowing that her husband is on top of her, and still she figures, I'm gonna still go into stira, or I'm gonna not cover my hair properly, or whatever. You could argue that that's a great enough pritzus that therefore she may not even need a warning, because obviously she's far beyond warnings at that point. She knows full well that what she's doing is no good, and So that's it. So we have a proof. So we do have ultimately a proof from the Mishnah from the last case about the case where her husband is in jail. It was a cheresh or whatever, that you always need a warning. Now, what kind of warning that is? Again, you have the machlokas of the Rashba and the Riyaz and the Beis Shmuel on Evan Ezer, paskins like the Riyaz that the warning does not need to include the word that she will forfeit huksuba. It's just a warning, don't keep doing this. And then if she keeps on doing it, then her husband has the right to divorce her and she forfeits huksuba.
Say a few extra words.
Yeah. Okay. It won't hurt to say the few extra words, of course, but it's not necessary. Okay.
How do you know that you can apply the last case to all the previous cases if the Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly? Where do you get that from?
We would have thought, the Gemara says, Rav Hanina Misura is pointing out the proof from our Mishnah, and the Gemara accepts it. The other Amiroyim, the stomach of the Gemara that first brought up the question from Arusa, and Rava, who brought up the question from Almona, not the question, the attempted proof from Almona Lekohen Gadol, both of them would disagree with Rav Hanina Misura and say that there's a difference between whether Beis Din has to be Mekane versus when the husband is Mekane. One second. Let me finish. The Stam of the Gemara over here, Ravina and Ravashi, when they edited the Gemara, are saying it's a valid point. Nonetheless, we don't accept it. La halacha, we accept it. Chanina Misura's point that there's an exact equation between that case and any other case, whether her husband is around or not. Either way, you need a warning. You never say that just because her husband is around, therefore she shouldn't need a warning. You always need a warning in order for her to forfeit huksuba. What the nature of that warning is the machlokes rishonim.
I'm not sure I understand the reasoning here. My question is, how do you know from the last case that it applies to the previous cases? And I'm still not
saying, once we say that in the
clear
case
about what your explanation is.
So that's what we're saying. The last case is where her husband is not able to warn her because he's a cheresh or shoyter or what have you. The previous cases are she has a husband, but in the first case, she's only an arusa, and in the second case, she's an almona, l'kohen gadol, etc. What the Gemara is saying is, once we see that in the case where her husband is not available and Beis Din is warning her, we see she needs a warning. We don't automatically say that without that she's going to forfeit huksuba. Then that shows in the other cases as well she needs a warning. So now what the Gemara is saying is the original stum of the Gemara, the Iboyalahu, where they tried to bring the proof, and Rava, which also tries to bring the proof from earlier parts of the Mishnah, they would disagree with that svara. They would say there's a difference. If her husband is available, she doesn't need a warning. Only if her husband is unavailable does she need a warning. But Rav Hanina Misura is not It says there's no distinction either way. It applies across the board. And the Gemara, the stomach of Gemara, the final editorial decision of the Gemara is that that's the, that we accept that, and there's no difference between the cases. So once we see
that the Gemara, case,
because the Gemara is the Gemara. That's Ravina and Ravashi. They edited the Gemara.
One second.
Yeah.
How can the Gemara poskin for the minority? The majority of the Chachamim disagree with that Svara.
Where do you see the majority?
How can the Gemara by itself decide?
First of all, that's the prerogative of the Amiroyim. That's the prerogative of Ravina and Ravashi, that they can paskin like an individual opinion that was brought in the Gemara. But second of all, where do you see that everybody else doesn't agree with it? Ravina, Rava disagreed with it. Abaya and Rapapa, and then the earlier stomach of Gemara disagreed with it. When we say Ravina and Rav Ashi, we have to remember, when we say Ravina and Rav Ashi composed and compiled the Gemara as we have it, it doesn't mean they're sitting in a room by themselves and making decisions for the whole Jewish people. It means they're discussing it with their Bnei HaYeshiva and coming to conclusions. So it means that the Bnei HaYeshiva of their times heard what Rav Chanina Misura brought a proof from our Mishnah, and they said, you know what, this is a valid point, and we accept, unlike the earlier opinions, then we have the rule from Abaya and Rava's times and onward, we have the rule, halacha kebasroi, the halacha is like the later chachamim, because we say the later chachamim knew of what the earlier chachamim held, and they still disagreed with it. So that's how it is. Based on Rav Chanina Misura's proof from our Mishnah, the Chachmei HaYeshiva of Ravina and Ravashi's times accepted that this is a valid proof, that the same rule that applies when the husband is not around applies when he is around, and therefore that we always need a warning in order for her to forfeit Huxuba.
But it doesn't come, there's no explanation on why they say it's a valid rule.
The explanation is that they accept that what Chanina Misura's proof is valid even for the earlier cases. We don't say this business about there's a difference whether the husband is around or not, aims to debal klal or not. We say it's not a matter of whether she has ema of her husband. It's a matter of that always there needs to be a warning in order for her to forfeit Huxuba. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I learned in the third last week, that's here.
Yeah.
That's last Mimer on
that Lloyd B'Shamayim here, yeah.
Yeah, that at the end of the third brings down that Rabba, Yochid Baal, is he passes that far, even though
right,
he's not Gerabin.
The fact remains that in that case we actually don't paskin like Rabbah in the end. We don't paskin Tahr. Yeah. Okay, you know what? We do need to go on in the Gemara, but yeah. The point is, it is true though. Yes, of course we can have individual Amiroyim can paskin however they like. What we're talking about is the Gemara over here, ultimately the editorial decision of the Gemara. It's true. Usually it's according to the Rabbin, but every so often you have sometimes it can be paskin like a Yochin. In this case, we're saying that once Rav Chanina Misura said his point, then apparently most of the other Chachamim ended up agreeing with him. If you want, we can talk about it later. Yeah.
It just mentions that when it comes to the Amoraim, like you mentioned before, yeah, there's no Yochid Garavim, Malacha Garavim anymore. That only paskins by the Amoraim. He says that
right.
Clearly.
Okay, so there you go then. So in that case, then fine. Thank you. Okay, so in that case, then fine. So based on what it says in the Kutta Torah, then yes, the Amoraim are able to paskin like one individual Amora, even when the other Amoraim are against him. But yeah, all the more so we have when Halacha Kabasroi, Halacha is like the later Amoraim against the earlier one. So yeah. Okay, fine. The Gemara says, now here's another question. What if this woman is over al-das, like we said, she's violating one or another mitzvah in the Torah, but the husband, now we said the husband has the right to divorce her, but what if he chooses not to? What if he wants to stay married to her? So, mekaima or ena mekaima, is he allowed to stay married to her, or is Beis Din going to require him to divorce her? Now, the point, we're not saying that she's going to be also to him necessarily, but the question is that, because she's not going to be also, without kinui, but the question is going to be, just is Beis Din going to force him to divorce her because of the way she's acting or not? So the question is, do we say the Torah is making it depend on whether the husband cares or not? The Holoi Kofin, and we see this husband doesn't care, and therefore he's not Mechoyev, or maybe we would say that since usually the husband is Machvid on such things, And then therefore we consider it, even though this particular one is saying, I don't care. Nevertheless, we would be makbid on his behalf, basically. Beis Din would tell him that he's required to divorce her. So the Gemara says, again, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. The Toshma, the Elusha Beis Din Makan and Lahem, the following cases, Beis Din will be Makane on their behalf, on the husband's behalf. Mishnah Scharash Baila and Shtata, if her husband became a Cheresh or a Shota, or Shoya Chobish Beis Asurin, or he's stuck in jail. Now, you have to ask, says the Gemara, V'yamat Rotza Baal Lekaima Makaima, if you're going to tell me the husband has the options in such case to remain, to, in such cases, to remain married to her, how could Beis Din do that? Avdi based in Dilmala Nichola the Baal. How could based do something which maybe the husband wouldn't want? I mean, we're not saying that they're technically shluchim of his, because, for example, if he's a chedesh or a shoyte, he can't appoint a shliach. It's more a matter of zochim la adam shalei b'fano. But if it's not necessarily, but ain chovim la adam shalei b'fano, if it could be a choiva for him, so meile, if you say he's required to divorce her regardless, fine, then based can act on his behalf and give her the warning. But if you say that he's not actually required to, then how could Beis Din even give her such a warning in the first place? And the Gemara says that's not a proof. Stama de milsa, even de overas al dasi, we would usually assume by default that if she's being over al das, meinach nichale, then the husband would like to something to be done about it. So therefore, we can assume. Therefore, we have a good reason to assume that Beis Din can go ahead and be mekane on his behalf, because we assume in most cases he would want something to do about it. So there is a machlokas we're showing him in the end. Whether we, first of all, Tosfos points out that the next question that the Gemara is going to ask ends up bearing on this one. Here the Gemara has left the question open, but Tosfos says next question, which the Gemara is going to go into, whether once the husband was Mekane, whether we can be Moichel on the Kinui, Tosfos says that's going to bear back on this one. If we say the husband can be Moichel on the Kinui, and the Gemara is going to go on to establish that he can, then that means also, by the same token, if she's over al das, then he can forgive her and they can stay married. That's how Tosfos learns. And on the other hand, the Rashba also learns that way. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who say that fine, since the Gemara hasn't answered the suffix, we can't force him to divorce her, but there is a mitzvah still for him too. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch in the end, that in such a case, it would be a mitzvah for him to divorce her when she's over al-das, but he's not, based in, is not going to force him to it, because the Gemara has not clearly answered the question one way or the other. Okay. Going on. Now we have another question. Suppose the husband wants to forgive the kinui. So he was mekane for her. Now let's say Rashi actually says that the question is whether he could be meichel at any time before the stira or even after it. Rashi is learning that even after the stira, he could say, you know what, I shouldn't have been mekane for you in the first place, and therefore she won't be also to him. In fact, the Maharshal brings a proof from the Gemara is going to bring a proof from earlier in the Masechta, where we talk about the case when they're on their way to Yerushalayim, they have two Talmid Chachamim along with them. So Maharshal points out that there, obviously, it's after Stira, and the Gemara is still entertaining the possibility that he could be Moichel on the Kinui, showing, therefore, that even after Stira, it could work. And Achronim talk about how is that possible on the face of it. After Stira, she became also to him. Later on, we say that the Torah makes the Sophic almost like a Vadai, and then therefore she becomes also to him. But nevertheless, we're still saying that since it depends, it all started, it was all triggered by So that Rabbi Akiva Eger asked the question that she's already also, and the Torah considers it a Vandai. So you could say, in other words, that the Torah does say that Suffolk has the power of Vadai to the extent she's also to him, but if he's Merkel on the Kinui, then it's as if it never existed in the first place, therefore there's never any Suffolk in the first place to be treated like a Vadai. That's how Rabbi Kivanger learns. Just to restate it briefly. Midaraisa was saying once there was Kinui and once there was Stira, ultimately we have a Suffolk. Yeah. Elsewhere, in fact, the Gemara calls her Suffolk Soita, because she is, after all, a Suffolk, whether she was Mizana or not. The Torah tells us to treat it like a Vadai to the extent that she's also to him until she drinks the Meisoita. But in this case over here, if we're going to say it can be Mochel on the Kinui, the result is, it says the Stira itself is as if it never happened. So therefore, we have no vada, we have no suffix to be upgraded to a vada and considered as such.
Once once he has already the Tamil Chacham going with him, then already it seemed like, you know...
That's the Gemara is going to discuss that in a couple of lines, what happened when the Tamil Chacham. But yeah. Anyway, so the question is, can he be Moichel on the Kinnery? And Rashi is saying that the question is whether before Stira or after Stira. The question is, do we say, after all, the Torah is making the whole thing depend on the husband's kinui, and after all, the husband at this point was moichel the kinui, so maybe therefore that means that nothing really began over here. So therefore, the stira itself was not necessarily, again, first of all, we could have what Tosfos Shantz was saying before, you could have a case where the stira is not technically a stira because it's not technically yichud. And second of all, b'chlal, the Gemara elsewhere says that the Gemara says ein oisrin ala yichud. Ultimately, the Gemara concludes that even if a woman was in yichud without kinui, that's not reason enough to ask her to her husband. That's what Tosfos is saying. Once the Gemara concludes over here that the husband can be moichel on her kinui, then that Tosfos says that bears on the previous question of the Gemara, whether if she's over al das is required to divorce her. Obviously not, because by definition she was over al das, and yet the husband is allowed to be moichel on the kinui and stay married to her. But that's first we have to discuss that point and see what the answer is. So do we say, since it depends on the husband's kinui, or baal hamochel le kinui, the husband was moichel on the kinui, so therefore everything's good? Maybe once he made the kinui, he can't take it back anymore. So the Gemara says Toshma, the Elush based in the canon lahen. Again, let's bring yet again a proof from that part of the Mishnah about the based in doing kinui on the woman on the husband's behalf. Mishnah is Charish Baila and Shtata, or Shay Chobish Bevesa Asur in any of these cases, but he's Charish Shoter in jail. The Amit Baal Shem Mochel or Kinuya, Kinuya Mochel. Again, you have to ask, if the husband is able to be Mochel on the Kinuy, then, Abdinan Midi De Ossi Baal Mochel, how can Beis Din go and do something unilaterally, which the husband might have been able to be Mochel, like this? In other words, wouldn't it be a Zilzul for Beis Din? Wouldn't it be Zilusta De Beis Din, as Rashi says? It would be like it would be embarrassing for Beis Din that they would do a Kinuy, which are things that are done by Beis Din become well known. And now, later on, the husband says, you know what, never mind what the Beis Din said. So shouldn't that show, therefore, the husband can't be Mochel on it? So the Gemara says that's not a proof. Again, you could say, like we said before, stomach the milsa or the maskim are das based. And by default, we're going to assume that the husband would agree with what Beis Din did. We don't have to be concerned about the possibility that he would undo it, because once Beis Din did it, he's not going to go stand there frivolously and then go be mivatel.
There's a fix that only went serious.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. Earlier, back in the first parak, we learned that, again, once she becomes a soita, once she is a kinui and stira, she's also to her husband, and then they have to go to the Beis Din HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, because we said only the Beis Din of 71 can supervise the soita drinking the water, and it has to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. So we said, we said we give them two Tamar Chachamim, the local Beis Din sends with them two Tamar Chachamim to go to travel along with them, because otherwise the husband might have relations with her on the way. And if he did, then as we said a number of times, the soita water wouldn't work, so therefore we want to prevent that. So the amateur Baal Shem Mochel or Kinuya Kinuya Mochel. Now, if you're going to tell me that the husband could be Mochel on the Kinui, so what's the problem? So let him be moichel on the kinui, and then he's perfectly allowed to have relations with him with her. So the fact that the Mishnah is implying that they're absolutely also, and we have Tamar Chachamim there to prevent them, to actually guard them, and earlier on Daf Zayin, the Gemara had mentioned why you need two Tamar Chachamim, is because you might even have where one of them has to go to the bathroom, and you need at least two people over there in order for there to not be a problem of Yichud. But if you're going to say the husband could be Meichel on the Kinui, then you could have a scenario where he is mutter to have relations with her. So the answer is, the Gemara says, maybe that's just that. Why particularly are we sending Tamar Chachamim? Why not just two regular people? You could say Digmiri, because they know the relevant halachas. And they know, do you boil him, Mival, if he really does want to have relations with her, Amrile, then those Chachamim will tell him very well, Achle l'kinuyach, go ahead and be moichel on your kinui, Ubala, and then go ahead and have relations with her. So in other words, therefore, so it's not a solid proof, because again, you could have other reasons why Tamar Chachamim, the Gemara explained earlier, again, because they're going to know to be careful about Yichud, and so forth, but still, you have a possible proof over here that he could be moichel. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma, the Amr of Yoshia, Shloshet Dvarim Sochli Ze'ira Ma'anshe Yerushalayim. There were three things that Ze'ira, one of the men of Yerushalayim, told me. Three halachas. The first one is Baal Shemochel al Kinuya Kinuya Mochel. The first one is that the husband can be mochel on the Kinuy, and that is a valid mechila. The second one is Vezokin Mamre Shrotze Besim Limchal Mochelnoi, a Zokin Mamre, which is a case where you have a distinguished Talmud Chacham who himself is capable of passing halacha. He disagrees with the decision of the Beis Din HaGadol of the National Sanhedrin, and the Torah tells us that if he goes and paskins against them after they decided the halacha, then he's chayev misa. But if they want to forgive him and they want to say that it's fine, you can continue teaching the way you do, then so Zira says moichel moi, then they can be moichel him. And the third one is a ben sora remoter should also over the imer loim chalai moichel moi. The third one is a ben sora remoter. Like this, they bring him to Beis Din the first time and he gets malchus, and then if he keeps up the behavior, then they bring him to Beis Din again for skila. But if at any point during the procedure they decide to be moichel him, then Zira says they can be moichel. Now, Rabbi Yoshia continues, when I came to my friends, to the other Chachamim in the south of Eretz Yisrael, they agreed with me in two of these three cases that Mechila works, but they disagreed with me about the Zokin Mamre, because you don't want Machlokas to proliferate among Jewish people. Like this, if Beis Din says to the Zokin Mamre, go ahead, you can continue teaching and paskining as you were before, then that's going to create different understandings of the Torah against the Jewish people. And the whole point of Zokin Mamre is the Torah wants there to be one unified halacha for everybody. So therefore, so in that case, Mechila doesn't work, but they agreed on the other two. So therefore, good. So you see from that that the husband can be mochel on the kinui, and it works. So the Gemara says, good, shmamina, so that proves it. Yes, the husband can be mochel on the kinui. So now, pligibar Rav Acha v'Ravina. So now, Rav Acha v'Ravina disagree on when are we saying that Mechila works. So we just discussed before that Rashi said that's before or after Stira, but actually the Gemara itself is discussing that point. So when can he be moichel? So between Rav Acha and Ravina, one says it would only work for him to be moichel only before the Stira actually took place. But if it was after Stira, then it wouldn't work. And the other one says it would work even, and it would work. The other one says that it would work even after the stira. And the Gemara says, when we stab a commander Omer any mochel, now it's more logical to accept the opinion that it doesn't work. So when we said that it could work after stira, that would be in the haba amina of the Gemara. When the Gemara was first discussing the question, then it would be for both. But now the Gemara is saying it's more logical to understand that it only works before stira. Mimai, how do we know that? Based on what the Chachamim answered of Yosi. When we talk about this business earlier, that they send two Tamar Chachamim with the couple to Yerushalayim, now, so Rabbi Yossi had said, you don't need the Tamar Chachamim, Baila Neman Aleha, because we can trust the husband alone to not have relations with her, and Rabbi Yossi had said, we can learn with Kabachoyim. Uman nida shi bekaris, mada having relations with his wife when she's a nida, which is an isu kaddis. Nevertheless, bailam neman aleha. Nevertheless, we trust the husband. We don't require there to be shomerim in the house when she's nida. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions on this the pasuk suga basheshanim, that pasuk in Shir Hashirim, that you have even where we're fenced in by a hedge of roses. Even you have roses are not very strong. You could easily trample them, but nevertheless, a person is careful about that, and he doesn't. The same way, the Jewish people are careful with the halachas of Nida, even though there's no shomrim there to watch. So then Rabbi Yossi says, soita sheba lav, like Kolshkin, how much more so a soita where there's only an isu lav? Omrulai. But the Chachamim answered back to Rabbi Yossi, Loi, that's not a solid proof. You could say by a nida, you could argue the reason why we don't require a shomerim, she can yeshla heter, because ultimately there'll be a heter. Eventually she's going to go to the mikveh, she's going to be mutter to her husband. So therefore his yetzahara is not so powerful. Tomar, the sota shein la heter, how do you have by a sota where conceivably she might never be mutter, because if she turns out to be tmeya, she's going to drink the sota water and that's it, she's a goner. Now, the amit la'acha stira mochala, if you're going to tell me that even after stira, the husband would be able to be mochala on the kinui, well, then mashkachasla, diyeshla, then diyeshla heter, then you do find a case where there could be a heter. Di boy mochala the kinui ebal, because then he could be mochala on the kinui, and then he'd be allowed to have relations with her. The fact that Rabbi Yossi did not bring up that point against the Chachamim, and the fact that the Chachamim themselves gave the shlugged up his Kavah Chomer, so therefore, Shmamina La'acha Stira Ein Mochel, that shows that after Stira, he can't be Mochel anymore, and the Gemara says, you're right, Shmamina, that proves it. So therefore, that's it. So the concept of being moichel only applies before stira, which is that for that reason at the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara says that a man should be careful not to do kinui for his wife nowadays, even without edim, because you have different opinions over there whether the kinui requires edim. Then if she's in stira, as we're saying in the Gemara here, he's not going to be able to be moichel on the kinui, and we have no meisota, and the result is she's going to be osota. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah. Mesu Bale and Adshle Shosu. If the husband dies before the wife drinks the Mesota, then we had a Machlokas with Shammai and Chola, we had a Machlokas with Shammai and Hillel. With Shammai says that she does collect her ksuba. Both of them agree that she doesn't drink the Sota water. With Shammai says she can still collect her ksuba. With Hillel says she can't. So the Gemara says, but my commitment, what is the underlying Machlokas? So Machlokas says, with Shammai Savri, Shtar Ho Imit Ligbois, Kid Gavri Dami. With Shammai holds that when you have a Shtar, where you have a shtar that has a regular shibud in it, then the owner of the one who's holding the shtar is considered to have more of a chazaka on the nechassim more than the other guy. So in this case, in effect, since she has the ksuba in her possession, then she is more the muhsin. Now, if the husband wants to say, or the husband's yoshim, rather, because the husband died, wants to say, you shouldn't be paid the ksuba, they'd have to bring the proof. They're the motzim achaveder. They're the ones who would have to bring the proof. Well, they don't have a proof that, they don't have a proof whether she was mezana or not. So therefore, they'd have to pay off the ksuba. Whereas Basila would hold that it's not. It's considered the nechassim are considered more in the husband's chazaka. So therefore, Faket, she is the one, she wants to say, she would be a Motzim HaChaver L'Varaya. So if she wants to collect her ksuba, she's going to have to bring a proof that she wasn't Mezana, and how is she going to be able to bring that? And how is she going to be able to bring that proof? So therefore, without that, she can't collect the ksuba.
She only has the paper.
He has the actual Nechassim. Tosfos discusses at some length over here, there's a number of Tosfos in that discuss different aspects of this, where we have in other places in the Gemara things about this, about who has the Chazaka and who doesn't, and how all that works, but the bottom line is that's what we're saying, that Basil holds that she's not muhsik in the property. There is one of the Achronim, Shiura Rabbeinu Shmuel, points out that after all, didn't we just say before that the suffix sota is considered like a vadai? So what are we saying? In other words, that according to Basil, she can't collect the suffix. It's not really even a suffix anymore. It's a vadai. Once she became a sota, then we consider, as far as the dinim of tumah, that she's also to her husband. We consider a vadai that she's also to him. So he explains. That we're saying the suffix is treated like a vadai is only really as far as the fact that she's also to her husband. The fact is, at the time when she was in stira, she could have drunk mei sota. Her husband was alive at the time. There's no reason why she couldn't have drunk mei sota. He died afterwards. So therefore, we can argue that when it comes to the ksuba, there's only a suffix rather than a vadai. In other words, the difference is, if it was a vadai, we would say even if she grabbed the nechassim, we're still not going to allow her to collect them. If we say it's only a suffix, then we say once she has the nechassim in her possession, then it would be the husband who would have to, or the husband's yoshim who would have to bring a proof. What we're saying is, when we say that a suffix soita is considered like a vadai, that's only as far as the iso to her husband. That we're saying once she becomes a soita, she's vadai also to her husband till she drinks the mei soita. But given that suffix could conceivably have been answered by her drinking the mei sota, and now something else happened in between, namely her husband dying, that prevents the mei sota from being able to take place, that's not reason enough to consider that a vadai. It still remains a suffix, whether at the time of the stira, whether she forfeited uksuba, and therefore it becomes a suffix, so only because I'm loitz machaber l'varaya can she not collect.
But isn't there also that you can answer her on the boil from a suffix?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. In other words, the suffix makes it that because of the suffix, she's also to him as well as to the boil. Yeah, but in other words, that's all as far as dini iser v'heter, but not as far as dini mominus. As far as dini mominus, we'd still consider it a suffix because after all, in other words, it's a, when you have where to begin with, she's not roy to drink, then fine. You say then in that case, she forfeits uksuma. That's that. But here, where to begin with, she was roy to drink. And only because afterwards the husband died, does that change things. And therefore, and to that extent, we don't consider it a vaday. We still consider it a suffix. And therefore, we would have the usual rules of a mitzvah chavel of araya.
So if there's one anus, if there's one anus that saw them having stira, then there's no drinking.
No, if there's one aid for the stira, then there can be drinking. If there's one aid of tumah, then there's no drinking.
And that wouldn't be strong enough. Like if she dies in between, that wouldn't be strong enough. She had one aid that.
No, all it means is she's a suffix soita. She was also to her husband, and like you said, she's also to the boil as well. But for her to forfeit the ksuga, not necessarily. But still, saying that she only forfeits it because of suffix, which implies, in other words, if she becomes muhsik and knows nechassim, if she grabs the nechassim, or if the husband left her money before he passed away to her, that's in her possession to pay off the ksuga eventually, then she would be the muhsik and she would be able to collect it. So in other words, Basila is not saying that loy noitlas ksuga as an absolute thing. It all depends on who's the muhsik over here and who's not. Whereas Bishama, I would say she's always the mochzak because she's holding the ksuba. Yeah.
Maybe it's been a little bit enlightened us about the Kabbalah Shabbat.